Joyful blessings. This is Kaylin Castell, co-founder of the Shamanic Astrology Mystery School and creator of the Celestial Timings. And this is the story of Inanna as it describes the Venus cycle in the sky. And there's quite a long, translation of Inanna's story in the book Inanna, Queen of Heaven and Earth by Diane Wolkstein and Samuel Kramer. And it is a translation from the cuneiform texts of the Sumerian texts that have been found. And so I have taken that longer story, condensed it to just what really describes the Venus cycle and the ceremonial journey that or initiation journey that Venus goes on, as well as a shorter version of even the Ishtar story. Ishtar is the Babylonian goddess named for Venus, and she has a similar journey. So I'll just give you a little bit of that at the end of this as well. And so these stories carry the codes of information that help us to understand the initiation. So I just invite you to really open to receive the story, to allow the story to inform you in whatever way it is for you, it is about for you. So you might choose to close your eyes and connect with your breath and just allow the words of the story to carry you into the initiation itself, as well as whatever it awakens for you, because these carry the codes of information. These stories carry the codes of information. That's why they've lasted for eons of time. And it's a great opportunity for us to really be present with just the story itself. So here we go. From the great above, Inanna opened her ear to the great below, and she heard the cries of her sister Erskigal, queen of the underworld, grieving the death of her husband Gulagana, the great bull of heaven. So Inanna decides to abandon heaven and earth and her office as holy priestess to descend to the underworld to attend the funeral and support her sister. In preparation, Inanna dressed herself in her finest garments and jewelry and began her journey to the underworld where her sister Erskigal lived. Inanna knew that no one ever returns from the land of the dead, but Inanna also knew she must go. It was her time. As she prepared for her journey, she asked her friend and servant Ninshabar to get help if she did not return, saying to Ninshabar, "If I do not return, set up a lament for me by the ruins. Beat the drum for me in the assembly places. Circle the houses of the gods. Go to Enlil, the god of air, and ask for help. If he does not help, then go to Nanna, the moon god, and beseech his assistance. If he refuses, go to Eridu, to the temple of Enki, the god of wisdom, who knows the food of life. He knows the water of life. He knows the secrets. Surely he will not let me die." Then Inanna set out for the underworld. When she arrived at the outer gates, Inanna requested entrance and was told she must enter like everyone else and give up one of her vestments at each gate to gain access to the next phase of her journey as she was descending into the realm of the dark goddess. When Inanna entered the first gate, the gate of authority, she surrendered the Shagura, the crown of the steppe, symbolizing being stripped of her connection to her divinity, her connection to heaven. "What is this?" Inanna asked. "Be satisfied, Inanna. A divine power of the underworld has been fulfilled. Trust in this covenant set down before time." When she entered the second gate, the gate of perception, she surrendered the lapis lazuli measuring rod and staff, releasing all the distortions that had clouded her perception and her sense of magic and ability to manifest. When she entered the third gate, the gate of communication, she surrendered the double-stranded beads around her neck, releasing all the ways she no longer communicated the truth and authenticity of her being. When she entered the fourth gate, the gate of compassion, from her chest the breastplate called Come Man Come was removed, symbolizing her emotional heart and the release of all the ways she no longer truly loved herself. When she entered the fifth gate, the gate of personal power, the golden ring of power was removed from her hand and she was stripped of all the ways she had tried to have power over others or had given her power away. When she entered the sixth gate, the gate of creativity, her diamond waist belt was removed and she was stripped of all the ways she no longer truly valued herself. When she entered the seventh gate, the gate of manifestation, from her body the royal robe, her starry cloak of or garment of ladyship was removed, stripping Inanna of her life force, and thus she arrived in the underworld, stripped bare of all her garments of protection and all the ways that no longer served her. Then Inanna saw before her an eighth gate, the gate of initiation that requires total surrender and willingness to choose a conscious death. The guardian at this gate told Inanna she was about to enter the gate of death by intent, and upon entering here she would surely die to who she knew herself to be. Choosing to go through this gate, she would experience her greatest trial yet, preparing her for rebirth and ascension. Inanna stepped through this gate and found herself, naked and bowed low, entering the throne room of her sister. Ereshkigal rose from her throne, and the Anunnaki, the judges of the underworld, surrounded Inanna. They passed judgment against her, and Ereshkigal fastened on Inanna the eye of death. She spoke against her the word of wrath. She uttered against her the cry of guilt. She struck her. Inanna was turned into a corpse, a piece of rotting meat, and was hung from a hook on the wall. When Inanna did not return, Ninshabar hastened to the gods as instructed, but Enlil, the god of air, and Nanna, the moon god, refused to intervene. Enki, god of wisdom and water, however, consented to help. Enki fashioned the Kugara, spirit of the earth, and he fashioned the Golatur, spirit of the seas. To the Kugara he gave the food of life. To the Galatur he gave the water of life, and sent them into the underworld. These two beings did not confront Ereshkigal in a power struggle for Inanna. Instead, they listened to her moans. They heard her pain, and they named it back to her. This is the action of wisdom. This is the action that heals depression when our hidden pain is felt, named, and honored. When Ereshkigal felt relief from her pain, she offered Enki's creatures any gift they desired, and they requested Inanna's corpse. When Inanna was given to them, they revived her by sprinkling the water of life and the food of life over her dead body 60 times. Inanna awoke, and together they began the ascent back through the eight gates. Inanna collected her vestments as she passed through each gate, claiming a renewed, vibrant, and authentic relationship with them all. When Inanna returned through the first gate, the gate of manifestation, the last gate she passed through on her way into the underworld, she retrieved her royal robe, the starry cloak, the garment of ladyship, reclaiming her aliveness and life force energy. When she returned through the second gate, the gate of creativity, she retrieved her diamond waist belt, symbolizing a renewed and vital connection to her value and self-worth. When she returned through the third gate, the gate of personal power, she retrieved the golden ring of power and she claimed her authentic personal power. When she returned through the fourth gate, the gate of compassion, she retrieved her breastplate called Come Man Come, symbolizing the return of her emotional heart and her renewed ability to truly love herself and thus love others. When she returned through the fifth gate, the gate of communication, she retrieved the double-stranded beads around her neck, reclaiming real and authentic communication for herself. When she returned through the sixth gate, the gate of perception, she retrieved the lapis measuring rod and staff, reclaiming a renewed way of perceiving herself and her connection to the magic of life and her ability to manifest her true purpose. When she returned through the seventh gate, the gate of authority, Inanna retrieved the shagura, the crown of the step, symbolizing her reconnection to heaven and her divinity as a fully initiated goddess. Then Inanna saw an eighth gate before her, and the guardian told her, "This is the gate of ascension that she is now allowed to pass through because she has successfully encountered her underworld initiation and is ready to ascend, reclaiming her place as queen of heaven and earth." Inanna looked around and saw there were many others also stepping through this gateway with her, joining her as fully initiated ones who know both the ways of the underworld and the celestial world. Inanna ascended, returning to the heavens, reclaiming her place as queen of heaven and earth, with the knowledge and felt experience of pain and darkness, having experienced them for herself. The wisdom that orchestrated her descent into the underworld also arranged for her return. As she passed through all the gateways, Inanna encountered all her shattered parts and the uncertainties of who she thought herself to be. All her worldly tools and ways of identifying herself were stripped from her, and she was required to die to who she believed herself to be. This is the underworld initiation of death and rebirth that we all encounter. This is the gift of Inanna's journey that reminds us it is through the wisdom of surrender and trust in the process that brings us through this passage to a whole new, more empowered and magical way of being. So that ends the story of Inanna, the shortened version of the story of Inanna. And this is an even shorter version of the story of Ishtar, the Babylonian goddess, who has a very similar story, but some different details that you might find interesting to connect with. So Ishtar's sister is Urkala, the dark goddess is Urkala, and this is her story. Ishtar decides to go to the underworld or place of darkness in search of her beloved husband, Tammuz. She prepares for the journey, dressing in all her finest vestments, and sets out for the dark cavern that leads to the underworld realm. When she arrives at the first gate, Ishtar demands the gatekeeper, Nidu, open the gate for her to enter. Nidu tells Ishtar she may enter according to the ancient rites, removing a vestment or sacred item at each gate. At the first gate, the gatekeeper removes Ishtar's splendid crown. At the second gate, the gatekeeper removes her necklace with the 8 rayed star. At the third gate, the gatekeeper removes her bracelets of gold and lapis lazuli. At the fourth gate, the gatekeeper removes her shoes. At the fifth gate, the gatekeeper removes her veil. At the sixth gate, he removes her outer robe, and at the seventh gate, the gatekeeper removes her garment. Ishtar comes face to face with Urkala, her sister. Urkala curses Ishtar, summoning the plague demon to afflict her, causing Ishtar to die. Ishtar saw the light no more. Feathers came upon her. She ate dust and fed upon mud. Meanwhile, Shamash, Lord of the Sun, notices the effect of Ishtar's absence on the world, and thus concludes the world will die, ending the creation. So Shamash sends Ea to conjure the water of life from Urkala and revive Ishtar. And thus Ishtar returns through the gates, reclaiming her vestments, and is reborn as queen of heaven and earth. So you may have noticed that the vestments are described a little bit differently, and in each translation you can actually find different descriptions of the vestments, but they do in a way represent the 7 chakras. The journey of descent is releasing and letting go and dying to all the ways that are no longer serving, so that the intent is that on the ascent, then the reclaiming of those particular vestments or those relationships to those chakras are healthy. So this represents Inanna or Venus or Ishtar, Venus, in the morning sky, traveling with the sun in the underworld, and in the evening sky. And there's more details in the other audios about how these stories connect with this cycle. So we're going to close this by doing an invocation to Venus or Inanna. The Holy Priestess of Heaven, I say hail to the Holy One who appears in the heavens. I say hail to the Holy Priestess of Heaven. I say hail to Inanna, Great Lady of Heaven. Holy Torch, you fill the sky with light. You brighten the day at dawn. I say hail to Inanna, Great Lady of Heaven. Awesome Lady of the Anunnaki gods, crowned with great horns, you fill the heavens and earth with light. I say hail to Inanna, First Daughter of the Moon. Mighty, majestic, and radiant, you shine brilliantly in the evening. You brighten the day at dawn. You stand in the heavens like the sun and the moon. Your wonders are known both above and below. To the greatness of the Holy Priestess of Heaven, to you, Inanna, I sing. Blessed be.